Welcome back to Style Over Substance with me, Scarlett.
And myself, Mim.
Thanks for joining us. And today we've got a story time episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I'm going to be talking through why I left fashion.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I did a really dramatic look to you, but like, I left fashion a while ago.
Well, yeah, because in our like reintroduction into this season of our podcast,
yeah,
we kind of was honest about the fact that we no longer work in fashion after having worked in it for a number of years. And we haven't discussed our careers and things. Yeah. We haven't discussed why we left. And I think why we left is such a significant reason for us to doing the pod,
yeah,
in general.
And really relevant to the fashion industry and what gets said about it. And
yeah. And it's a chance for you to like be honest about what it's actually like and see if there's no doubt going to be people out there who have had similar experiences, just as serious.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's a great story, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to interview you.
Oh!
Because you've always like really, really been into fashion. I think as long as I've known you, you've had an interest in it. And when it came to like choosing our options for uni and stuff, yeah, you were already studying art and you were determined that fashion design was going to be what you pursued, yeah, despite maybe feeling like maybe other subjects would be more prestigious, more financially better,
yeah,
and the stigma of like, do I pursue what I genuinely want to do, or do I just do what's expected of, you know, girls our school or, yeah, someone who has really good A levels, because you did. Am I doing the stupid subject? I remember you like,
yeah,
really battling with that decision.
Well, I really did, and actually, I got better A levels than I was expecting to get.
Yeah.
Also, probably because I don't ever give myself credit, but also I studied really hard,
yeah,
and got better than I thought. And I remember the person I was seeing at the time who was going to Oxford,
yes,
I got better A-level results than him.
Mm.
And I was like, so why am I going and studying like a dumb subject? Not that it is dumb, but like creative arts is, yeah, often seen as like,
as an easy subject.
Or like, oh, you're doing that because you're not bright. So you're finding a way to navigate the world because you're not intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, I'm interested in just a lot of things, mm-hmm, and I had always wanted to do 2 degrees and I really struggled with it. And I actually like called up my uni to see if I could change course. But as I was at university, like someone literally my first week was also like, oh, so you're not bright if you're studying, mm, fashion design.
And that like confirmed your fears,
yeah,
of people not taking you seriously in the world because you studied fashion design.
Yeah. And actually the university I chose, so I did an art foundation year, and the university I chose was intentional. So I went to the University of Leeds to study fashion because it was an academic uni.
Mm.
And I needed that for myself. But also having gone to an art college where people weren't super bright, I was kind of like, I do like that stuff. I want to have conversations with a history student or an English student. I don't want to just be only around art, because I'm not a quintessential art person, really.
Yeah, I think growing up, because we both studied art, and we knew other like artistic people, there was definitely this like art kid,
yeah,
aesthetic, yeah, and vibe and culture. And I don't think you fit into that sort of strict, and it's not an insult.
No, no, I just don't like, take it as one.
I think in creative arts, especially in art and design, there can be a lot of kids who try to prove themselves as avant-garde or,
yeah,
different or really creative.
For sure.
And you weren't like that.
Yeah. And actually, so, like, I did even apply for like London College of Fashion at Central St. Martin's, but I don't think I would have even wanted to go, because I'm pretty regular, like, compared to, like, you're saying, these avant-garde people who, like,
yeah,
dress in whatever way I was like, I just wear like jeans and t-shirt. I don't feel the need to express my creativity externally.
Yeah.
Other than the regular person who just likes to dress or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I really struggled sort of with it, but I'd always wanted to do fashion design, like for as long as I can remember. And like, if I had made it, the thing I would reference, you know, whenever I was like, oh, so like, when did you think you were like first interested in this? Yeah. I used to draw clothes and like, I loved drawing and I would draw clothes endlessly. I used to design my wedding dress. I know what it looked like. It was awful. I had two. It was like, one was red for the outside part of my wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, yeah.
To play on the name Scarlett.
I think I must have seen like a non-white wedding dress once. I was like, yeah, you know, I want to do
growing
that.
Growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s,
burgundy
wedding dresses was a thing, okay?
You know what? I don't even know like if I was influenced. Like, Victoria Beckham was hers, like purple maybe, but like burgundy purple.
One like, of them, because I'm pretty sure she had a white one as well.
Yeah. But like, I could picture they both had like matching purple. Like metallic
and Beck's wedding.
I'm sure I was like influenced by some of those types of weddings, but like I've always loved it, and I knew like I had to pick art to do it, and I would have wanted to anyway. But even our art teacher was like, "You'll make up for like the art side with your writing." She's like, "Are you sure you want to pick art?" And I was like, "I have to do art. Like I want to do design."
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Yeah."
And that's really rude. Like.
Yeah.
Who actually can draw like from a once in a week class where you're like, until you actually get taught to draw, because you actually don't until you properly take it.
Yeah. And that's quite like interesting, the idea of maybe at the beginning when you were beginning to pursue this career and someone not thinking that art and design was for you, you'd be better at the writing.
Yeah.
But in the end, you actually ended up having a career in design as a designer for like big name brands, and it's kind of like a
I can't do something.
Like, all of that opinion really carries really little weight in the end. It depends on what you want to pursue and how far you'll go to pursue it, and also like
what
circumstances.
Age do you pick GCSEs? What, like 13?
Yeah, at least the latest is like 14.
Yeah, so like I've got 4 or 5 years to develop and hone a skill, like, and definitely, like, I even know from then to now, and I don't even draw that often, I would do a better job than my sketchbook from then. I'm appalled by my sketchbook. Like, you're developing a skill. So I've always wanted to do it. It was like a big dream of mine. And funnily enough, the attitude changed when I got a job in it. The attitude changed from, oh, you're not that bright, to that must be a girl's dream job.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, because I can see how that happened. Like, even I, thinking of your job, although I didn't really know what it entailed, I was like, wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. You must be doing really big things. And then obviously we discuss it later, but like going on work trips and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds impressive. So that's quite funny, actually, how attitudes change.
It changed, like, instantly as soon as I worked in it. But also, probably at that point, was I interning for free and, like, not quite properly working in it. Who knows?
Let's talk about uni. What was... Because I'm sure there's people who will listen to our podcast, want to get an insight into working in the industry... But does it make sense now that fees are like $9,000 a year? It wasn't for us, but like, does it make sense to pursue a career in fashion via that traditional route? And knowing that, like, if you don't go to Central St. Martin's, you know, if you do go to Central St. Martin's, it's like fast track to these big careers. But if you don't and you go somewhere like Leeds, is it worth it? Like, how was your experience?
I still think that it's probably required from the industry.
Okay.
Because I think people want to see your like final projects and your skills are so much better from going to uni and learning how to like do certain technical things.
Yeah.
like not many people know how to like pattern cut or whatever. So you need to know how to construct a garment. I guess there would be those odd few that kind of could just do it through if they've learned those skills themselves.
Mm-hmm.
My experience of university was awful.
Really?
It was really awful. My friends and I joke, our course was horrific.
In what way?
They used to just like belittle us. So like already that fashion hazing started at university.
Oh, I see.
We even like our first year, the design teacher would be like, oh my God. So, she wasn't from Liverpool, she was from Leeds. But she's like, someone sent me an email and they clearly didn't understand the assignment and like very passive aggressively
That's aggressive.
But like the person in the room, yeah. One time it was one of my friends, and she was stuck there like, that was me that sent that email, I'm not sure what we were doing. And yes. She would be so rude. And there's been like genuinely times where like they would throw people's work on the floor. Like it was insane. Like their attitude sucked just because they'd had their moment in the sun, which like probably was no more than what I've done.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some was like designing like air stewardess's outfits, which is cool, but like it's an air that like, you didn't design for like Vivienne Westwood. You designed like in the parameters of what there already is. You can't mess around with it too much, but yeah, they really thought like quite highly of themselves, and I think they brought the attitude of the industry into the classroom, which sucked.
And it's funny because like we've spoken in the past about how the industry can feel very small, especially if you are in like design and things like that, and especially if you're in the UK, because the UK is just in general it's small.
Well, there's fewer design houses here as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very much an inside, it can feel like it's an insider's club.
Yeah,
so you know how it's like the bullied becomes the bully.
Yeah.
And then you feel like in order to feel like you're part of the club, you need to join in that hazing, as you were saying.
I've had that with managers before as well, where they definitely, they'd almost be like, after they've been awful, would be like, oh, I remember when I used to feel
that it's
way.
Almost like a rite of...
Why are you doing
it's
it?
Like a rite of passage. And then they feel like because they've gotten to that level that they have the authority and like the experience to bestow that like...
Yeah.
That on you, it's weird.
And maybe that was them being a bit like, if you can't handle this, you might not be able to handle the industry. But like, there's also a way to go about it. Like, you shouldn't throw people's work on the floor and stuff.
But then it's like, people who don't survive the industry in time will figure it out and they will leave on their own accord.
Yeah.
When that happens to them, if that happens to them, you don't have to be the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think it's very much like, there used to be like this gatekeeper mentality of like, who can be successful and who can't, and like
and also there's different vary degrees of success, because also I had always had in my mind I want to like design at the highest level I can, at like I wasn't someone who was aspiring to design at Topshop. Was never my goal. I was like, I want to design like stuff that I can't afford, like was always my goal. Whereas like, so in my head, if I'd become a Topshop designer, I might not have felt as fulfilled.
Yeah.
But that's really successful, to be successfully doing a job like in your craft and in your profession. Like any job is like a success.
Do you feel like, and I'm asking the question because I can admit that I held the same like belief system. Do you think there's a level of snobbery that is like, I want to be in luxury.
Yeah.
Because like, even though I wasn't in design at all, but when I was like working on the shop floor and in retail and sales, it was like, I don't want to be in any department store. I don't want to be in any brand.
Yeah.
I want to be in the one that is selling the stuff that is the most expensive stuff that I can't afford.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. I want to like by proxy enter in a market that I have no place being in, can't afford it, don't have that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And like anything below that is like whatever, like it's lower, even if you're getting paid the same approximately.
You will be, and you might be getting paid better at High Street.
Yeah you might be.
Well, not in your profession, but definitely in design you probably were.
But
there's definite snobbery, but also that's like almost encouraged by the industry, because it was a thing of like, if I had worked my first job and then be like, I'll go work at Topshop now and design bags, it was like, you can't go back up. Once you go down, you're not allowed back up. Like, they won't take you. So you had to be really strategic. And actually, funnily enough, this golf documentary I'm watching, if they choose to do the Saudi Arabia tour, they like won't be included in like the formal golf tour anymore, because they like choosing to support Saudi.
Oh,
and they have this conflicting thing. And yeah, it's like, you have like, there's not that many jobs out there. And then you're like, well, Topshop, like that, like, it sounds like I'll go home at 5 p.m.
Yes.
But like, but if I want to be in this luxury game, which like I do, and I've told myself because I'm a snob, and like, I'm like, I think that sounds more prestigious, and I want to be at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't go down. So I've got to wait for that job to come available.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, it's like being out of it, it sounds pathetic.
But that's the thing, you spend, and I think it's to do with age as well. Like, yeah, when you're in your early 20s, you've just left uni, or yeah, you've got your first job, and you're trying to figure out a way to navigate your career in general. It doesn't have to just be fashion. And you have to be that strategic, yeah, because there's no one necessarily around you who's pursued the same career, who's doing the same thing as
yeah,
you. It's not like you can just ask your parents. Neither one of them were in fashion, that like,
yeah,
or like fashion design and whatnot, that they can give you a perspective on what it's like today. So
yeah,
I think as you get older, then it's not.
No, but you're right. And also, you get told in fashion, it's about who you know. And I was okay, like, I know no one. I was like, how I actually times, don't know that.
Like, who told you that specifically?
It was everywhere.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Even it would be like from our art teacher, like, oh, you know, fashion, it's about who you know. I was like, how do you fucking know?
Do you think that's like self-fulfilling, in that people who's not even in the industry will say it's who you know?
Yeah.
And then it just becomes true because that's what everyone says.
I think it's a small industry, so I think that helps. But having stepped out of it, and now the industry that like I'm not literally in, but I very much see like how it works.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, you, like half of our my colleagues have been brought in because they used to work with other people. Like, it's the same in any world. Like, if you had someone's CV come on your desk, you're like, I work with them at X, they were a great employee. That's a helpful yeah, like leg up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's got all these like mystiques around it.
Yeah.
But it is, like you said, it's hard at any age to navigate. And I even see that in anything. Like, I think you have that in law, I think you have that in finance. If you want to go for like a top firm, or like, you have that in all of that too. And I think you have to try and make that decision quite early on. And you have to be really conscious of that. And can you go back up? And
yeah,
and also, you could almost get any job if you've worked so-and-so. And that used to be the thing as well, with like the rumor of Alexander McQueen was like, if you've worked there, like, it's recognized because it's the worst place to work. So if you...
Is it?
Like, worst internship, really grueling, like, it's awful. And it was kind of like, oh, if you can handle that, then...
Oh, yeah, shit. What year was that? Do you remember?
I'm awful with years. People make fun of me with how awful it
is. You have a really good memory, though, so I'm surprised.
I know, but
that.
I don't do things by years. So, but it was probably
like 2016?
10 years ago. No, so it was like, probably about 10 years ago. And it was like a notorious thing. Yeah. But this is also like, it's only now as well that internships are only allowed if you're being paid.
Oh, yes. So a few years ago, that became like a really hot topic of...
Yeah, and that, it unfortunately means some fashion houses can't get by, but also, so you can not pay people if it's part of their education.
So an apprenticeship.
So maybe. Yeah, so I did a four-year course with a year in industry, so then I'm allowed to not get paid, basically, in the current state of stuff. I also left, actually, no, I didn't leave uni and not get paid, but some of my friends did.
Like their first jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because also, if you haven't done that, like, sandwich year of, it's also like you have to have experience, but nowhere takes you if you don't have experience. And then again, it's like one of those slippery slopes of like, how do I get experience if you don't let me through the door?
Yeah.
And also, like, where I first worked, I loved it. I loved the brand. It was a small brand, and there's still like a lot of the people there, like, still bought into that fashion thing. So they were kind of like, oh, you know, I remember my interview, the guy was like, really, he was so lovely. He just took it so seriously. Mm. And I was like, let's be honest, all I'm doing is running errands.
Yeah.
Like, and you're checking, like, if I know this or, like, what fashion design stuff I can do. And actually, most of my time is spent getting Diet Coke for the boss or, like, lunches for people.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. I want to talk about that. But first, like, there's quite often the idea of, like, people who can only afford to do internships. Mm. And I think this is not just exclusive to the UK, but I definitely know that the creative arts in the UK in particular, yeah, like when we look at like our biggest name actors, a lot of them, like Cumberbatch guy.
Yeah, Benedict.
And like even Tom, yeah. And even like Tom Hardy, yeah. I didn't know Tom Hardy was like private school.
Private school, yeah.
Tom Hardy, who's like, his niche is like rough around the edges, yeah, yeah, boy. I was shocked. Anyway, so a lot of these like big name British people in creative industries are from well-off or okay backgrounds, family backgrounds, even yourself, like an okay family background. And it's only those who can afford to do unpaid work, which means that the industry becomes full, disproportionately full of those people from those backgrounds. Like, did you see that? What was your thoughts on that? And like, I know we've had discussions already, like, but even for you, it was still very difficult to afford working within the industry.
So the first place I worked would probably be that kind. I was working for someone whose dad was definitely pumping like money into the business. So, definitely from like a well-to-do, and a lot of the people there, yeah, were like privately educated and like had like a leg up in life.
Yeah.
However, in other industries, or other places that I worked, I found the total opposite, where it's people who'd just done that graft and maybe they were working a job to fund like living in London so they could intern, like really going for it, and had to like put that in. And some of my friends had to do that for their year in industry, were like having to work a second job to afford interning, which sounds mad.
Yeah, it is mad.
But it is definitely is a privilege. A, I was really lucky that my parents are a train ride from London rather than being like based up north.
And you were living with your parents at the time still? Yeah,
so I didn't have to worry about covering those expenses. It was just my train fare and like general living. But also I still had a student loan that year. So that covered that. It was lesser.
Okay.
But I still had a student loan that year.
But when you left, you didn't.
No, but I did actually leave to a paid job.
Okay.
It's definitely a privilege, but you also see it in other industries where... And it sucks. But yeah, I also found that there was still a diverse sort of collective. But as we've talked about in other episodes, like the likes of Mary Catranso, like you and the first person I worked for, you need funding behind you. It's not easy to have a brand. Like the company I worked for definitely had money pumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like for sure when it like folded, I'm pretty sure she got given like from her dad, this is now all I'm giving you. Do what you...
The brand that you were working for.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure this is how it felt in like, from my perspective, that her dad was kind of like, this is the last check I'm giving you, like for you to make a go of it.
Yeah.
And because it was, so she built it and it's established really well. And then basically had a bit of an it bag moment. And then we scaled up. But obviously with anything, you can't ride that wave of stuff. And then our numbers didn't stay that high. And then it was like this really tricky thing to manage. And so I think then her dad was kind of like, here's your last amount, make a go of it. And so then she was like, I'm going to get a shop. I'm going to like live out my dream. This is how it all felt for me. It might not have been the case. Oh, okay. But I feel like for 6 months or a year, she was like, I'm going to live out my wildest dream of having a shop with my name on it, with my designs in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then, like, I accept that we're going to fold. And she had, like, redundancies along that way anyway. But I feel like there was a finite amount of time. Mm. And it felt like she was playing with Monopoly money. That's how it felt like being inside there. Because, like, again, I'm not thick. I'm astute, and also it was like an open plan office, and I'd worked there, but when there were like 8 employees, and then at that point there were sort of 20 odd, I just I overheard and like could hear, and I love listening to like the business conversations. So I'm like, I'm not stupid. I know what the maths is. I know that we don't even have enough like for minimum orders and stuff.
Yeah.
I know that we're like not meeting our margins and getting stuff right. So like the money's not there. And also like would hear, and actually this is a great thing I don't think I've shared before, where there was a time where the company went into administration.
Okay.
And then like, oh, then our like, who did he become? Our CEO maybe? He was the finance guy and then he became like CEO or some shit.
Okay.
Helped like part buy or bought the company. So it, but under basically the exact same trading name with like one letter different vibe. But, and then obviously you have to transfer all bank details because basically they were being sued and they didn't want to honour that thing, but we weren't paying people. It was like a real thing. Yes,
that is scammy, but that happens a lot.
But like, but also I think they were being sued unnecessarily, who knows, I don't care. But at the time then they were like setting up the bank accounts and we all had to sign basically saying that we're like happy to transfer over into the new, and a few of us were a bit like, what does this mean? I don't know how I feel about this. And we had to get paid. They did it around payday, so like you can't sign this, like, oh, you won't get paid till you sign this.
Shit, that doesn't seem right.
No.
And because then, your initial contract was with the last company.
Yeah. And also it flags, is this place like
stable?
Stable. Yeah. How do I feel about this? And I've never experienced that before. It's like my first job and the banks hadn't yet been set up. So her EA, I think she was called EA at the time, over the phone in an open plan office, reads out everyone's bank details. How much they're being paid, because they're paying it from like the boss's personal account. And literally I then started making a list, because this was like ridiculous, it was disgusting. Because I recognized my sort code, and then they said like basically like what my gross was to be paid into my account. So I wrote down what everyone was being paid, realized how low mine was as well. But yeah, what a faux pas. Like it was really disrespectful, like just to literally be there like, yeah, so blah 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 blah, 1,000 whatever, like to get paid into their account. It was
that's really bad. She couldn't have gone into another room.
Of course, we had private offices. Yeah,
but no, that's dumb. And that's what happens when people who get hired into jobs that do not have the credentials to be doing that. Executive assistants. She would never. So I'm so sorry.
She also messaged me the day after I got made redundant, and I like posted a thing on Instagram, like sunbathing, and she went hashtag redundancy perks, and I was like,
Oh my god!
I just got made redundant. I'm devastated. Like, I'm actually devastated. It was like a dream job. I loved the job. I loved the designs. I'd worked there for so long. Like, I knew everything about this company, and I handled it awfully. And she went, hashtag redundancy perks.
Oh my God. And that's another thing, like when you were talking about people, the bullier becomes the bullied, it's like I don't know what it is. It's people just forget who they are a little bit, or there's a risk of them forgetting who they are and trying to become someone they're
people
not.
Get caught away, like, or caught up in it, and like, that's just not my personality. I almost go the opposite way, and I'm still this way even with people who work underneath me, where I'm like, so sorry to ask you, like, do you mind, thank you so much, because I've just been treated so poorly that I don't want anyone to think of me that way. And I'm almost doing it too much, and like I have to work on that for sure, but like people get swept away with this whole like monstrous thing. Like even when I was an intern, and actually this woman ended up being like my mentor for a while, and we got along really well, but I wasn't allowed to address her directly. She wasn't even the main designer. I wasn't allowed. I had to go
via
somebody.
Is this the last company that you worked at?
No. This was still at the first place.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to. She would have been younger than we are now. We weren't that. We would maybe have been 5 years apart in age.
Okay.
Not even. And so, like, she like hadn't got the credentials to kind of warrant it. They were both like very young, two women. One was like the founder and creative director, and the other was like the senior designer, and they basically did everything together. They were friends at uni and like were doing it all together, and one had worked at Tom Ford for like a hot second, so she thought she knew everything.
Hot shit, yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to address her directly, and she would refer to me as she rather than my name. Can you get her to do this? Can she do that? And it was like living up to this thing, and they would go and design in a secret room, and you weren't really meant to enter. You had to like knock, and it'd be like a real inconvenience if you like interrupted. And it was pathetic.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And actually, in the end, she was actually a really sweet lady, but she, I think she got swept up in that for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And then actually, when I started working closer with her, she was really nice. And actually, she got screwed over. God, so many stories.
Oh my God.
But she got screwed over by her best friend.
Well, she kind of deserves it.
Yeah, she did. But like, we actually, like, we smoothed things over, and actually she was really great with me. And I learned so much
from
her.
But that's the thing, like, you two could have maybe started getting on and be on the level, and you feel like you've forgiven her or whatever, you've moved on from it. But it doesn't mean that she's not treating other people in the office that way.
True, true. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so what do you think was like the highlights of your career?
I think the highlights were just generally having like, probably when I had a job title that like was like accessories designer or like junior, like having it in the title.
Yeah.
For sure. I remember being like, I was excited to have an email address there that had my name on it, because it used to just be intern.
No way.
Like when I first started.
Yeah.
So I was like, I remember emailing my family like, guys, I've got an email address. but I think that's probably just a young person.
No, I think
thing
I still
anyway.
Do that. Like, hi everyone. Here's my own work email address.
But also work trips, like I've really enjoyed doing work trips, maybe not so much with them to begin with, but when it became actual design trips rather than being a human courier, that felt really cool, and that felt really exciting, and it feels glamorous, and parts of it are, but also parts
it's
of it
still,
really aren't.
It's still an experience that many people don't get to have.
But like, again, I love learning. So just going and being in a factory, seeing people do stuff, or people telling you, like, what construction works. Like, I loved the learning aspect of it all. And then also, they don't just make for you. So they're, like, making purses for Burberry or Tom Ford, and you're sat there like,
ooh. Yeah.
So I used to love all that stuff. But then when I worked for the couture house, I felt like, fuck, this is actually really cool.
It was a big deal. I mean, and the brand you worked for
and I used
was
to,
a big
used to be
deal.
Able to walk through the atelier, and I just, like, every day that was, like, that never got old. Like, seeing women who it was mainly women in the atelier who just really knew this, like, that was amazing. Like, I felt really honored to be a part of that, and then be able to see stuff in shows, like all of that stuff was huge.
And that designer was incredible, like their stuff was incredible,
like real pieces of art and stuff like that. Not my taste, like, to own the accessories I was designing, but like, so that felt like a real, like...
Yeah, you made it. Yeah. Did you feel like you made it at the time?
The time that I really felt like I made it was when they'd fired my boss, and I then was hosting, like, design meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, little me now. Like, I was the assistant, and now little me, or I was, like, the junior. But anyway, like, I'm now hosting. I'm acting like head of design.
Yeah.
And I'm presenting this to the creative director and the CCO or whatever her name was. And like, and I wasn't nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm not nervous. And they were intimidating people. I was like, I'm not going to let you intimidate me. Because I would see the shoes design, I'm sure I said this before, and she'd be like, like this, shaking in her boot and be like, like the whole time. And I was like, no wonder they don't,
they don't respect you because you you fumble at any, like...
And that's, like, unfair, right? Because we're all allowed to be nervous. But I was like, I'm just not scared. And also, maybe because it wasn't my job to be presenting. So I was like, I have nothing to lose here.
I think it should be the other way around, though, because you're at work. You're not meeting a celebrity. You're at work.
Yeah.
This is a presentation. They're your employer. And, yeah. like, you know, when you're at work, you just have to be, like, it's okay to be nervous. That's yeah. not the problem, because you're presenting something and their opinion matters and has yeah. like a huge bearing on your daily work and whatnot. But after a while, that should wear off. You should be like, this is my job. I see them around the office. Yeah. Okay, they're a big deal in their own right, but like, I would have thought someone like you who's just come into it and you're still trying to prove yourself, you don't even have that job title, but you're doing the work anyway.
Should be more flustered, for sure. But you know what? It's because I would sit in a meetings or I would help write notes in meetings, and my boss used to be flustered too.
Okay.
And she used to like be adamant. She'd love dressing up. She'd wear heels, and she was a tall lady. And if they needed scissors, she would sprint across the office to go get.
You know what
scissors.
I think is? I think knowing you, I think you saw these other two people and being absolutely pathetic, and you were just like, "I cannot act like
yes.
that."
Yes. And also, I don't buy into that either. I'm never, if someone needs something, I'll get scissors as fast as I can. I'm not going to run to do anything.
Yeah,
that's pathetic. Like, no one, nothing's that important, but they probably are still from the era of the fearful managers and people like, I want it now. And they're like running, like, why aren't you running?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can run and get them in 10 seconds, or I can walk and get them in 20. Like, we can all take a deep breath.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I was embarrassed watching them behave this way. And so I was like, I'm just not, like, I don't buy into it that much. And also, it's not that, like, I'm designing for you and what you've asked me to do. It's not personal if you don't like that. These aren't my dreams.
Yeah.
I'm meeting a brief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's matter of fact, like, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... I really felt like I made it then. I'd be like hosting these meetings. And then especially if like the designer's like, yeah, I really like that. Like good work. I'm like, oh. But yeah.
So, okay. What was the reason? What was like the straw that broke the camel's back? Because you obviously said like hours, respect, pay. These are all things that would be bad in any industry for anyone.
Yeah.
But considering it was like you actually loved your job and you loved the industry and you felt like you were part of something that made you happy, what was the reason where you thought, no, like all the good stuff aside, it doesn't outweigh the bad?
Yeah. And actually, you even say that, like, I did actually love it. Like, I used to work late. So my first job, we would like work late quite a lot because my boss wouldn't rock up till 11. So she'd do her working day in different hours and we'd all kind of be expected to stay.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But I loved it and what I worked on, and I was kind of in charge of surface and I loved that. And I loved doing packs to the factories and like all, I loved all of that. And even researching and like, la, la, la. I loved all of that. And also when you're busy, I thrive off being busy. Like, you know, when you have that nervous feeling in your tummy because like, you just got so much to do and you just like can't sit still and there's loads
you're better
to do.
Than me.
I mean, I'm not like that now because I don't have enough to do, but I prefer.
Oh my God, such a. Oh my God, where was her?
No, it's annoying because like I almost then like put off doing stuff because I'm so used to like this. Oh my God, we've got to get this done now. Or like, oh my God, this is coming at four. Like it needs to be ready.
Yeah.
So like I used to love it. So the work hours weren't terrible, but when my boss left or got fired, and they didn't handle that great, they didn't tell me until like the afternoon. So all morning I'm just like sat there.
Okay.
And luckily she had called me and given me actually the heads up. But like HR is obviously meant to have come and been like, by the way, I bet you're wondering where so and so is. Because what if she didn't have my number? Or we didn't have that before.
Yeah.
I had worked with her previously, but like and so, yeah, I was like, they kind of like didn't say if they were going to replace her or not.
Okay.
And months go by and I'm doing her job. We don't have an intern anymore. Her like time has come to an end.
Mm.
So I'm doing three people's work, just me. It's like the middle of a season, like, or not even, I think it was quite near the beginning of a season. Like I still had a lot of work to do.
Okay.
And annoyingly, like the shoe department had two people and they wouldn't help me. They wouldn't give me any of their time. And okay. I had no like respect from the production company either, or not company department, mm-hmm. that, oh, we might not meet these deadlines because, you know, it's just me now. They'd be like,
yeah,
you got to. That would literally, every time I'd be like, and I'd almost be crying to this girl of like, I don't know if I can meet this. Like, can we please push it back a day? Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, you've got to. And I'd just be like, look, I've worked all weekend. Like, please, like, I just don't know how, like, I, one day just gives me the time. And she would literally just be like, would never give me any grace. Okay. And I was like, come on. Like, you're aware of what's going on. And it's obviously because there's deadlines to get stuff to factories and whatever. But I'm only one person and yeah. no one's helping me or providing me with a solution.
I mean, most of the time, is there an attitude to want to help people? Really?
And even if there's nothing she can do, like, just, I'm so, like, let me see. She might not be able to move it, but like, lie or be like sympathetic yeah. or whatever. And yeah, and it was just becoming a real struggle. And then because I was so busy, they would like sometimes not include me in meetings because I wasn't a certain seniority, but I'm doing all the work. But also like, yes. and I'd be like, oh, it would be really helpful to be in the meeting because then I can hear the comments firsthand and ask the relevant questions. And she was like, I don't understand. Like, she would really, like, this girl used to really like battle me. And I was like, but you've told me instructions and I would have asked a follow-up question to these. Yeah. So I knew exactly what I had to do so that I'm not wasting time. And it was just becoming this battle with this girl who, like, I fucking hated. She was the devil. Like, because she just didn't care and she would just, like, feel so sorry for herself. But she was going home and I'm still there at 10 o'clock at night doing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then I got really ill and I was, like, telling HR, like, look, I'm not well. Like, is someone coming? Like, what's going on? If it's me, like, am I getting a promotion? Like, give me some answers. Mm-hmm. I then got given a project to do by the creative director that almost kind of felt like, you know, if the, you, do you do this well, this might be like your promotion.
Oh, I see.
I did all this work. She did never reviewed it. And like, but I still have to have it on standby just in case. It was like all this stuff like mounting up. And then like, not only am I designing the collection and then this weird little special project, as soon as like a couture piece comes in, I've got to drop everything and I've got to draw it. And I'm the only person who can do it. And then also it got to a point where if I did try and ask the shoes girl to do it, she's like, I want Scarlett to do it, which is a compliment that like she wants me to do it. But like, do you not know how much work I've got to do? And I was just dying. And I was just like, it's not worth it. I was miserable. I think I left here at like 6:37 in the morning.
Okay.
I wouldn't be back till 11 midnight. This was like just on repeat. And then there were points where I was having to work at the weekend. So I would go to my mum and dad's because at the point I was living with a flatmate and I didn't want to be around her because I was so miserable that I didn't want to bring that energy to her. Mm-hmm. So every weekend I'd go to my mum and dad's and just like either sulk or be just drawing all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, just this isn't worth it.
How long did that go on for?
Months.
Yeah.
And then also around that point, I basically got told like, oh, like we're not going to be offering you that job, or like, I didn't expect to become head of design overnight, but I was expecting, oh, maybe I'll get
senior
a promotion
designer,
and then you can bring somebody in either at my level or like someone in maybe less senior than my boss and we can kind of like ride it together. And also I saw CVs or was it CVs on my like big boss's desk and asking salaries for a head of design. Four shoes and it was like six figures and I was like in like the mid-20s and I was like, so I'm doing the job of someone on six figures and you're paying me that, and I've asked for a pay rise, and then I think they offered me like a $4,000 pay rise and I was like, no, literally no. And I was really ill and I remember it, the HR girl being like, I was coughing, she's like, can't you go home? And I was like, I've got too much work to do. I can't go home. And I just had a cold for 3 months. Like, it was awful. And then I made my peace with handing in my notice because they didn't offer me anything. I still loved it. I really respected the creative director. Like, I loved working with her. She was a real, like, I really respected her. But I was just like, I just can't. Like, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I don't know.
And also they weren't. they weren't a stable company.
They shuttered after a while.
There'd been points where we hadn't got paid properly as well, and they were trying to skimp on stuff, and we were rationed with printer paper. Like, so you knew the finances weren't great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and that's obviously why they also fired my boss. It was probably like a financial decision.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I just was like, I think this is me leaving fashion. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even like, this isn't for me. I was like, I think this is me leaving fashion.
Okay. What made you think that you could do better elsewhere?
I just thought anything is better than this. Like, I genuinely, at that point, I was like, I would rather work in a coffee shop. I need my life back. Like, I need my happiness back. I was just like, I felt like such a shell of myself. I would leave work every day and cry and like call my mum or dad. And I was just like, and then I remember my dad being really like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, are you sure you want to leave? Because I think my brother was like, is this worth it? Like, you're miserable. Like, this is your life. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? And also, you know, when you're in that state, or maybe you don't, but like, when you're around people and you just like, you feel like you're on the edge of like crying.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not any good to anybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my dad took a bit convincing, but I needed everyone's support because I was like, I'm leaving this and I don't want anyone to be like, well, you went and left fashion, didn't you? What a big mistake. I needed like to feel you supported. Don't want, yeah. And I was also a shadow of a human like I didn't have right now. I'd be like, I don't care if you understand. Whereas like then I needed everybody's support because I was so broken.
You don't want to feel like you're going to make a decision that you think is best for you and then people are going to rub it in your face.
Yeah.
That makes you feel even worse. And again, when you are at that point, we're still in our 20s and you don't necessarily know any better.
Yeah.
You're taking an even bigger leap because it's not someone who's like gone from one job or one industry to another and you're like, I'll bounce back.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost kind of feel like, what the fuck am I going to do now?
And I was like, I don't know what I was going to do. But when I'd got made redundant, I did temping and I like did some office work and I was like, if that's what I have to do again, like fine, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do whatever. I just need my life back for a bit. I need to actually visit my home not just use it as a bed stop. But I don't know why I really realized like it's the end of fashion, but I think it was the way people treated me when I was suffering. And I was like, this is a common theme that I haven't been like when I got laid off and made redundant, I wasn't treated well. And I was like, I just don't want this.
Yeah.
And also probably then I had the thing like from where we started of like, I can do more than this. I could have been a fucking lawyer. Like, I don't need to put up with this. Like, I'm a bright enough person that I can pick up another job.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I can learn a new profession. And I always knew I wouldn't probably last forever in fashion because of, we even mentioned it in our last episode. There's only so many jobs at the top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the hours aren't worth it. And yeah, I just kind of, it was a really weird one, but like, and I was gutted for a while and it took me forever to update my LinkedIn. It probably took me like
a year and a half, 2 years
yeah. to admit it. Cause I think it was also more like my degree is now redundant. And also it was more like all my network is in fashion. And I kind of more didn't want people to be like, so what? She's now like, just works in an office. I hate my job title. It sucks. Like, I'm not.
But you do more than just work in an office.
No, I know, but I still like, it's funny. I'm not proud of my job. I used to be so proud of saying what I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like right now, I think also because I'm like still figuring out my life of like what direction to take it in. And I'm trying to steer it. And luckily I'm in a job where like, I can.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I don't have that same pride. Which is really funny because all these things I've just said, why did I have any pride in saying what I did?
But that's like, we've discussed it before, how industries that are so, people want to be part of them so much, and fashion is like that. It is able to exploit people based on the idea of like, everyone wants this life.
I feel like I had a toxic footballer boyfriend. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've just like, be like,
why would you leave
and
him?
This is why he, this is how he treated me. But he was a footballer.
Did you see the trips I went on?
Like, yeah.
Oh, I mean, like job role and being proud and stuff of that is in fashion is part of the appeal. definitely. The brand that you work for, the title that you have, the proximity to bigger what things. Feels
like, and also because of that's what you love, right? When you're close to like a beautiful couture gown, to someone else, they'd be like, whatever. But when you love it, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And like, so I miss that aspect of it, but also like I have a life.
Yeah, and I think that comes onto a point that, again, we've discussed, because we've discussed a lot of like things, but the idea you're more likely to afford the things that you used to design or sell or whatever now than you could previously.
It's so true. But I'm like, I definitely feel like out of it, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, I'm like more reluctant to buy into like expensive fashion.
Are you?
More, I think, because we're both aware of like the markups, the like,
I think it depends on the brand.
We used to have discounts and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, don't get me wrong, there are loads of designer goods I want. But also I think at the moment I'm really aware of like, am I buying this because of hype? I think fashion now is something to really sit in, and like, especially expensive pieces and like accessories, like, and having worked in it. Even some of the bags that I have that I worked on, I'm like, probably a bit like not my style now, but I wear them because I have them.
Yeah.
And like, I think I'd feel really annoyed if I spent a couple of grand on a bag and in like 3-4 years or even 5 years, I'm like, this isn't really it anymore, is it?
I mean, that happens like, in life regardless.
Yeah, like, I know.
But I don't also think that you're a person who like jumps from trend to trend or anything.
No.
I think you're a bit more mindful and thoughtful in that sense. So I don't think that would happen to you.
No. And hopefully, actually, I feel like at least with the knowledge and like experience I have, I'd hopefully try and be like, this looks really well made. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You never know, but like, you hope that you're like, I feel like this is worth it because look, this is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I still love clothes, I still love fashion. But yeah.
So is it like a never again?
I think so.
Yeah.
I also think I'm too far out of it. I did do some like some freelance like for a little while, and I liked that. It was like keeping my toe in it. But like, I just,
what about workers? I've thought about this myself. Working for a fashion brand but not in a design or not in a like a other department, merchandising, buying, visual merchandise, none of those other departments, but like, say you do what you do now but for Fendi, let's say. No,
I can only be in it in fashion.
Trauma.
No, but I think also like I want to know what's in that room.
Okay.
And also, yeah, it's the trauma a bit as well.
I think it's
the attitude of the companies. And I think it's too hard to change. Like,
I think there's not an incentive for the culture to change, really.
No.
And I don't know what it's like now. I don't know what it's like to work in fashion now. I have no idea. But
and they were nice people that I worked for, like, especially at the last place. Well, as nice as you can be if you're about to like make everyone go into administration and not really give people a heads up. But like, they were nice people, but like, it's the toxic continual thing that they all do that like is not going to go anywhere, is it?
Yeah. And you know, even when I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, I told you I started watching Bling Empire, New York.
Yeah.
And one of the women on there, she is an influencer, and I've been following her for years prior, but the other people, I don't really know them, and they obviously get invited to fashion shows and stuff like that because they either work in the industry or they just have money, and the culture, it's like, I don't think I could hang out with these people.
Yeah,
some of these people are weird. They're not like real people.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, I'd love to go to like shows and weekend in Paris, see a few shows, all of that.
Yeah.
Soft life. But to be part of it culturally full time, it's not a real place. And when you consider that a lot of the people who are part of it are just born into wealth, because like couture is for incredibly wealthy people, and that's what they genuinely buy. It's not, and you know, for the likes of us, we just, we look at couture as something to be admired. It's beautiful in its construction and its design, but for some people, this is actually their Zara, you know, they're actually buying this stuff for special occasions. And I'm not in that world.
Yeah.
These incredibly wealthy people, we have nothing in common. That, that in itself, it is a industry of people who are kind of out of touch and who will continue to be out of touch because of the price point they're buying into. It's just, it's not something that, like, it's not a culture that you'd want to be in or could be in for any amount of time.
Yeah, and actually, I think that even if I hadn't had that negative experience then and stayed on and I didn't have the kind of working late issue and whatever, I think I probably would have got to a point by now, because I even find it with social plans and whatever, where, like, I could tell the people where, like, obviously it's nice to catch up sometimes with people you haven't seen for a while, but you're just like, am I going to be friends with you still in 10 years? I don't think so. Like, are we just holding on to this?
Yeah.
Like, and you sort of, like, certain things, if you're not in the right mood, it just feels exhausting to, like, do certain things. Or, like, certain people are, like, safe people where, like, you just feel comfortable and it's fine. And most of my friends are like that because I've known them 10 plus years. So most of my friends I feel really comfortable with. But, you know, when you have those more, like, acquaintance-y people, you're like, I don't know if I can be bothered to have small talk. Like, if I'm in a bad mood, I want to be able to be like, guys, I'm having a bit of a bad day. Like, so I'm not bringing much energy, and it not be a thing, or someone's gossip, or you're not sure because you don't know them that well. And I feel like I probably would have reached my limit with the culture, the really wealthy people who work at the top. I just think generally, because I even used to, like, joke about it with, I had a really good friend at the last place. He loved fashion, and I was, and would be like going to exhibitions all the time, and I was like the least, like, arty fashion girl, where, like, I didn't, like, at the weekends I didn't do anything like to do with my job, like, and I just think I just was never, I never thought it was, like, a high enough priority or, like, do or die, so I probably would have left it at,
okay,
like, I feel like, especially, like, as you get older, you're just like, I don't have time for this, you know. Like, I just, like, you value things differently, and I think I probably would have reached my limit maybe in a different way.
Yeah.
But then maybe I would have, like, segued into, because I know a girl who used to work there in the women's wear team when I was there. We used to sit, like, our departments were nearby, and she's now moved into High Street, and she's like, it's the best thing she ever did. And she used to have the same snobbery and all of that, but once she got laid off, she then moved into it, and she loves it. But I, like, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't really want to be designing Zara bags, so.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've heard most of this before, but not in this depth, I think.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, it's not until you talk about something that, like, more comes back to you. And it is that thing of, like, you really suppress, like, even with uni. I remember my final year of uni, I used to film myself crying. Because I was like, I don't want to romanticize.
Wow, that's
how
very
hard this was.
That's very.
It's really weird. but we do romanticize. Me and one of my really good friends still, we were both working our butts off to try and get a first, which we did. But to what detriment? Our own.
Yeah,
we were like slogging our guts out. And we were putting all this pressure on ourselves, and I was miserable. And I just remember being like, let's not romanticize. Oh, don't you miss uni? Like, la, la, la. I was like, no, it was really hard. It was really tough, maybe self-inflicted.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't the best, like, especially final year just was not a good time. And that was fine. And it, like, it worked out and all the rest of it. But I think, like, it's like, it's funny, like, remembering stuff, because even the people I work with now, I'm like, you haven't heard how it used to be. Because some people, like, really complain if they do, like, an hour of overtime. I'm like, you've got no clue what you could be doing. Like, you probably think my job was just colouring in.
Yeah.
And you've got no clue how miserable it was.
So funny. Well, yeah. I think that this episode's been the best advert for, like,
why you should join the fashion
industry. I mean, like, it's just more like I wish I had heard probably someone's account who isn't okay. just like an advertisement from it.
Yeah.
It's like, by all means, still go into it. Like, it's great and I loved it, but it's not for the faint-hearted, and you've either got to hold your own or just accept some of these things. But I kind of refused to.
On that point, thanks for thanks for
hearing my therapy session.
Yeah. Listening to Style Over Substance and watching us on YouTube. Yeah, that's been Scarlett's account of why she left fashion.
We'll be doing yours in what, like 2 weeks?
Yeah. A week or so, 2 weeks, so we'll both get a chance to share our experience from different perspectives in different job roles.
Different and traumas.
But yeah, we also do fashion stories. So we talk about fashion events and things that have happened in the week. So yeah, if you like the sound of this episode, be sure to subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on all of the podcast listening platforms that you can hear our podcast. And if you have topic suggestions that you want us to cover, talk about our opinions on things, be sure to email us at styleoversubstancepodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.